I'm not fucking leaving.
Seriously, I feel like I'm financially inside of you or something.
Okay.
I'm jacked.
I'm jacked to the test!
What is going on, everyone? This is Brendan back again on the Twisted Business Podcast. Hope everyone's having a good Wednesday. Time of this recording, it's Wednesday. So let's just say I hope everyone's having a good, I guess, last week or two since I've been on the podcast. I just dropped episode 5 with Mr. Josh and Tony, calling that the Crypt Bros podcast. And again, thank you to Josh and Tony for coming on. It was a really great podcast, definitely the best one for Twisted Business so far. And I'm looking forward to all the other Crypt Bro podcasts we'll be recording in the future. I've definitely learned a lot from those two about cryptocurrency, and we talked about it on the podcast, but they walked me through how to set up a cold wallet storage using Ledger hard drives, and I definitely want to get my first Ledger hard drive cold wallet going so I can just feel the most secure with my cryptocurrency and, you know, move it there when stuff's cold like it is now. When stuff is, you know, off its all-time highs like it is now, like the bear market we're in right now, and just have it there. And, you know, when I feel like the bull market cycle's going and, you know, they're at prices I want to sell, I just figure I'll move it from my cold wallet onto an exchange and then sell it and, you know, take that money from the exchange and, you know, get it out of Coinbase or KuCoin or Binance or wherever you exchange your crypto and just, you know, have that cash in your pocket. But yeah, we talked about more than just cryptocurrency, but I imagine our podcast in the future will definitely be cryptocurrency based, heavy cryptocurrency talks and discussion, and a lot of Bitcoin and Ethereum and XRP. So yeah, we got a lot coming for you guys. I'm really excited to do more with the boys, and I'm excited to record podcasts with other guests as well. And that kind of brings me to a point where I just want to say publicly that anyone that is interested in getting into podcasting or, you know, interested in sharing their opinions or thoughts, ideas, concerns, questions publicly on a podcast about financial topics or business or government, please feel free to send me a message on social media. My Instagram is at @brend_derson, and Twitter is at @swagged_out_55. And you can DM me on Instagram, Twitter. You can see what other means of communication we got. I'm pretty sure wherever you listen to the podcast, you can leave questions or submit comments or whatever. So I guess wherever you listen, please feel free to write into the show and meet me and my team. We can get back to you. But no, I really appreciate anyone that's listened so far. It's been fun. It's definitely given me purpose the past month and a half to do something and kind of, you know, put a lot of effort in. I know I could put more effort in. You know, it's a constant work in progress. I mean, still starting off, you know, at the first 5 or so, I'm going to be really rusty, but I just got to keep getting better and keep working at it. And, you know, podcasting is definitely a thing that comes with repetition and, you know, the more you get comfortable behind the microphone, the more organic and, you know, the more flow you get. And I'm definitely just constantly working on that. I'm definitely not Joe Rogan behind the mic, but, you know, I am who I am, and I'm definitely trying my best to articulate and form thoughts and opinions and just, you know, put it out there for public consumption to receive feedback or, you know, help someone out with their financial situation, and really just kind of trying my best to provide value in any sort of way to the public online crowd. But guys, let's stop beating around the bush and let's talk about some juicy news that just dropped today. So I might have mentioned it in the first couple of minutes of opening, but when I'm recording this, it is August 10th, and just this morning at around 7:30 Central Time, new CPI data came out, and it came out at 8.5%. And if you listen to my podcast, I think it was number 4, titled Inflation Nation, we had CPI data that was released, and it had data showing that CPI was 9.1%. So comparing that to today's drop, we have it's down 0.6%. And a lot of investment banking companies, well, big banks, I should just say, like Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Schwab, and just all those other Wall Street banks, they were predicting, some had 8.5, I think, a few had 8.5, I should say. More people had 8.7, and others had like 8.8, 8.9. So an 8.5 CPI data print is definitely lower than expected, which is, that's a good thing, because that indicates that inflation is somewhat decreasing. Now, I've seen a lot of memes today about how 8.5% in March had everyone like worried and, you know, panic selling everything and, you know, the world's coming to an end. And then an 8.5 print now in August is having everyone on a buying spree and, you know, just hitting the buy button left and right and, you know, dumping into Apple and Bitcoin and Amazon and Ethereum and AMC. So it's been a wild day for the market, and it's been, you know, I'm looking right now and SPY is up 1.8%, so about $7.50. So any calls that expired today, because SPY does options that expire Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So any calls that expire today, those definitely are profitable, assuming you got in at a good entry yesterday. I put in an order on Webull, I think, for the 422s, but it didn't get filled. So, I mean, that's unfortunate. If it had gotten filled, I would have made a profitable trade, but it's all right. It's a part of trading. I mean, you're going to put in orders that don't get filled, and you're going to have days where, you know, you want to make trades with limit orders to buy, but like I said, they just don't get filled, and, you know, you just don't enter that position, and the next day it opens the way you thought it would, and, you know, you would have made profit, but you don't because you didn't get filled. And that's just a part of options trading. Since I'm just kind of talking about options, I'll just kind of try my best to put this podcast in the options realm. And if you know anything about options, I know that a lot of people kind of despise options because they might have lost quite a bit of money trading them, and and they just, you know, they didn't have good fortune with options trading. But I'll be the first one to say that I'm a firm believer in options trading. I think options are probably the best thing for anyone interested in the stock market to really kind of give a lot of time and effort to, in order to, into, you know, expanding that personal investor's knowledge on. And I think I've talked about this before on this show, but there's a massive difference between investing and trading. Like, I would consider myself an investor, a trader, a speculator. So I invest in things that I think long-term will appreciate in value. I trade things that I think will appreciate in value in a shorter amount of time. And I speculate on things that, you know, I speculate on certain things that may not be as certain, I guess, or are, you know, questionable trades or investments, you want to say. But either way, I mean, I guess everyone on that participates in the stock market is to some degree a speculator. And I can definitely say that with certainty, that anyone in the stock market or the cryptocurrency market or the housing market is speculating on things. And obviously everyone wants to make money, so everyone speculates that whatever their money's in will appreciate. But I guess the biggest distinction there is between investor and trader. Like, as an investor in long-term things, I put money somewhere that I'm very confident that in the long term it will be worth more than when I got into it. And the key of that is long-term, as in, like, I would consider that at a minimum 10 years. I mean, 5 years, I guess, maybe. But I would be very, very, very strict on, like, for me, a long-term thing is 10 years. I guess for some people it's different. Some people could look at it as a long-term investment as 5 years. But for me, like, a long-term investment is Apple stock. And I'm just going to hold Apple stock for at least 10 years and see where it's at. Or I'm going to hold IBM stock for at least 10 years and see where it's at, maybe even more, like 15 or 20 years. And the term trader I would use to describe myself is I'm looking to trade something in hoping that it appreciates in value, like, the same day I bought it, in the same hour I bought it, the same 5 minutes I bought it, in the next 5 minutes I bought it after I bought it, or, you know, the next day I'm hoping to see it appreciate. Trading for me is not really holding anything longer than 2 weeks, I guess. And that's just for me. For others, it could be like for a month or two. You know, you could trade an option that has about a month till expiration. But I've been trading options that usually have at most maybe 2 months on them. So that's just my trading appetite as of now. I'm still very new into options trading, but it's definitely something that I would encourage anyone listening to this to kind of do homework on and really just kind of study for yourself. So an options contract allows someone to buy or sell an asset at a fixed price at a fixed time. So for example, I got my phone in my hand and I'm opening up my Webull account. Shout out to Webull. I've really enjoyed trading options on here. But so, Webull, you guys, like, if Okay, so I'm looking at Disney stock, ticker DIS. And Disney stock has earnings after hours today, the 10th. It has earnings after market close today. And so I think the price of Disney is going to go down. And so I'm going to want to look at buying put options. There's two types of options. There's calls and puts. Calls are options that anyone who thinks the price of a stock will go up will want to buy and sell. And puts are options for people who think a stock price is going to go down. That's, you're going to want to buy puts. You're going to want to buy and sell puts. You think a stock's going to go down. And I have an order for a $100 strike put option for August 12th. So that's basically me saying that I think Disney stock will be at $100 or less than $100 by August 12th. And so Disney right now is at $112.14. So if they didn't have earnings today, I wouldn't even think about buying this. But because I think their earnings will be bad, I'm trying to get an order filled to get into this position. If it doesn't get filled, it doesn't get filled. But either way, I have it open and it'll be good. It's 2:19 right now. So if it doesn't get filled by 3 p.m. Central Time, that money will go back into my account and I won't get into that position. Kind of like I mentioned not too long ago. But yeah, so calls and puts, you guys, that's the name of the game with options. And I only buy to open and sell to close options. I don't really sell to open and buy to close options, because as I understand it, if you sell an option to open your position, if the trade doesn't go the way you thought it would, you basically are, I don't know, you're kind of trapped, and you definitely are wanting to get out of that position ASAP if it starts going the opposite direction you thought it would. I know that I've just kind of gone on a rant, you know, about options right now. I guarantee you, though, that if you do your own homework about them and really just study for yourself, you know, what options are and how they can really kind of help someone accumulate gains, I think you'd be foolish to not to try and understand options for yourself. Because I think I was starting to say this thought and then I got sidetracked, but options allow people with smaller amounts of money to really kind of grow their portfolio faster than you would just trading shares of companies. Like, in my opinion, I think options are for people with smaller accounts to trade. If you have a larger portfolio, I think you should still maybe trade some options, but I wouldn't trade options entirely with a huge portfolio. Maybe you got multiple portfolios with, you know, large amounts of money in all of them. So, and maybe you just want to allocate one of those portfolios strictly for options. That's fine. I mean, everyone's situation is different, obviously. But in my opinion, like for me, I have a couple of portfolios, and this options account I opened, it's definitely not my largest portfolio. So I'm just like, I have money in there that, you know, if I lose it, I lose it, and that's that. But if I can become profitable trading options, that'll be a good investment that I made, I guess. I can look back on it. But guys, so a big part of options that I failed to say is that an options contract basically gives someone 100 shares, like control over 100 shares of that company. So like an option is a contract that moves with the price action of the underlying stock. And I guess what that means is like if I'm looking at Disney calls or puts, if I buy either a call or put, I essentially have control over 100 shares of Disney in my, you know, under my belt. I have control over 100 shares of Disney until I either sell the option to someone else or I exercise the option, assuming it's in the money, and I exercise it, and then I get assigned 100 shares of Disney at the strike, at the date that the option's worth. It's, I don't know, I definitely, like, I don't want to come off as though I'm like, you know, the most profitable options trader of all time, because I'm not. I've definitely had successes with options, and I've definitely taken losses with options. Like, no one can be 100% trading shares of companies, let alone trading options of companies. Like, I guess to generalize that, no one can be a 100% trader. Like, it's options people that do it full time for their career will tell you that in the beginning, like, losing money on trading options is just a part of the game. Like, you will lose money. And I've blown up one account so far, and this Webull account is my second try. I definitely can blow up this Webull account, and if I do, then, you know, I'll just take some time and really kind of study what I did wrong and, you know, try my best to come back. But I, like, it could take me very well, like over 5 or 10 portfolios gone through to get with it. But I'm a firm believer in that if you just put in the work to get better at something and really just put in that, you know, just grind and put in that effort, like, I don't see why you can't become good at something that you're aspiring to. So I'm doing my best every day to become a better options trader. I'm trying my best to put in as much screen time as I can and study the way stock, like, certain stocks move, and look at setups that might be good for calls or might be good for puts, and executing on what I think I'm seeing. And again, it takes a lot of time to become a good options trader, just to become a good trader in general. But it's definitely something that I would encourage anyone interested about, you know, making money from trading a part of their life. It's, their options are definitely something that I would encourage you to, you know, research more about. And I'm honestly kind of in regret that I really found, like, I really started to gravitate around options until I would have been 20, when I was 21. I wish I would have known about options in, like, high school, and, I don't know, just the potential money you can make from it, because I would consider myself someone that's very financially motivated. I'm not the guy that has, you know, 3-4 different jobs, and, you know, I'm definitely not in the 1% of my age range, but I definitely want to make money, and I definitely want to see my net worth grow over time and see my assets expand and give back to people that gave a lot to me, whether it's financially or, you know, XYZ, but financially, I guess you can give back to people a lot more if you have a lot of wealth than if you don't. I don't know if that sounds arrogant or greedy, but I guess what I'm trying to say is the more financially well off you are, the more opportunity you have to give back to those that gave to you. And that's what I aspire to do, because I know my parents have given a lot to me, and I know that my friends have given a lot to me. I mean, Typical Twist has given me a chance to podcast, and, you know, like, how many people does that happen to? So I'm just very thankful for a lot of people and a lot of things in my life, and I want to do my best to succeed financially, to give back to all those entities in my life that have given a lot and put a lot into me. Because if I don't, then I go throughout my life feeling like a bit, I don't know, guilty. I think guilty is the right word. I go throughout my life feeling a bit guilty that I had a lot going into me from these people in my life, and then I just don't give anything back to them. Like, I don't want to feel like that for the rest of my life. So I'm trying my best to make it financially, and I really think that I can turn options trading into a potential source of income in my life if I just stick with it. So that's where I'm at right now with it, and definitely just trying my best to, like I said, just to study stocks and, you know, just study movement and execute on what I think. And I would just encourage anyone to, you know, start like YouTubing, you know, what are options, and, you know, find someone online that, you know, you can kind of relate with their content and really just gravitate around what they're putting out there about options, or I guess finance in general. Like, I've done the past year, I've really curated my social media to just be about finance and investing and trading and speculating. And, you know, I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Like, if I've unfollowed you on social media, please do not take it personally at all. It's just, I'm at a point in my life where I can't keep up with what everyone's doing and, you know, where you took a vacation to last week and who you're dating and how you're feeling and what you think about the state of the country politically. And I can't keep up with it. And especially people that, you know, I might have followed on social media that I don't even know in real life. Like, I'm sorry, but I probably shouldn't have followed you in the beginning. So a lot of that's on me, but for some people that might have followed me and I don't know you, but then I followed you back, I'm sorry, but I can't keep up with it. I'm at a point where I'm a 23-year-old young adult, and I just want to focus on myself and my close friends and family and what's going on around me financially and executing on that. And again, it's no hard feelings to anyone I've unfollowed. It's just how, like, where I'm at in my life right now. And so I really urge anyone to curate your social media feed to like include at least some investing and trading advice from people online that that, you know, give the allure that they're well integrated in the financial industry, and that they understand to some degree what they're talking about. I definitely, again, I don't have a financial degree and I'm not a financial advisor, but I definitely would consider myself more knowledgeable about the stock market and cryptocurrency than the average person, I guess. I mean, we've definitely covered it on the show, but like, we're not taught in school, you know, how to navigate, you know, finance. We're just not taught this stuff, and it's sad. And I definitely just want people to be financially free, and I just want everyone to succeed. I know that sounds like ushy-gushy and really just kind of, I don't know, sappy, but it's true. Like, I want everyone listening to this, and everyone that doesn't listen to this either, like, I just want everyone to succeed and be happy and have the means to do whatever they want and to give back to whoever invested in them. I sincerely want that for all of you, and I'm going to try my best to lead you down the right path to do that, while like keeping myself in check and leading myself to it. I mean, as like, I find myself as I'm like recording these podcasts and talking about things out loud, it reignites what I think I know in my own head and really kind of motivates me to do my best and really kind of stay the course with thinking long-term investing and thinking about future me. And so I really sincerely want the best for all of you. And, you know, I care about you. I love you. I have no animosity or ill will against anyone. I genuinely embrace anyone with respect, and, you know, I'm willing to have a conversation with anyone about anything. And I just want everyone to succeed. And I have a lot of hope about the future. I think that, you know, I hope our next president is just someone that instills hope in the country, and, you know, makes everyone very optimistic about the future. And I believe that's coming our way. I think that's what we need, and I'm confident that a lot of other people in the country, believe in that too with me. So who knows? Time will tell. Time always tells. And we got a long way until the next president, but I guess it never hurts to start thinking about that. So, but guys, I think I'm going to wrap up here. I could have done a way better job at explaining options, and I think the next episode will be options based too, but the basics I kind of covered. Like, an options contract gives you control essentially over 100 shares of whatever company, and there's calls and puts. Calls are options that are for someone who thinks the price of a stock's going to go up. Puts are for someone that thinks the price of a stock is going to go down. You can buy to open. You can buy to open stocks, and you can sell, or you can buy to open options, and you can sell to close options. You can sell to open options, and you can buy to close options. Options are very powerful financial tools for people with small, like, people that are trading with small amounts of money. note how I just said trading with small amounts of money and not investing with small amounts of money. If you're investing with small amounts of money, just buy and hold shares of you know, pretty well-established stocks like SPY or Apple or Amazon or shout out to Shopify. And I don't know, there's plenty of other, you know, companies out there that are great long-term investments. And I can't wait to like start making podcasts about companies that I really like over the long term. And I'll definitely be sharing my portfolio with you guys. I mean, I'm just going to be open and transparent about everything on the podcast. So there's still a lot to get into. Like I feel like this is episode 6. I feel like I'm just sticking my toe in the water at this point. I haven't done a full cannonball. So with that, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your weekends. And I'll be back on next episode for number 7. Until then, take it easy.
And when you get to the point where all you want to do is be successful, as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. And I'm here to tell you, number one, that most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want to party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. Some of you love sleep more than you love success. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to be successful, you gotta be willing to give up sleep.